Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm back! Get up off of that thing and dance to you.
Let's start with this. It's first off, it's hard to believe we even have to do this. It's inconceivable that we actually have to have an event like this to ask people that are elected and appointed to actually do the right thing. But I'm blessed that where there's so many people up here that want to stand together in a bipartisan manner to ask people, just do the right thing. This is so simple, right? We should never allow anti-Semitism anywhere. And we have to stand up against it. And we all do.
So what's the reason Rick Scott was talking about anti-Semitism yesterday at a press conference that he was joined at by Ashley Moody and former Governor Chris, Representative Chris, who's running for mayor of, I forget where now. Anyway, why was he joined by all these people? Because Raymond James Stadium, a taxpayer-operated, owned by the Tampa Sports Authority entity, was going to have a concert featuring Kanye West coming up at the end of this month on the 26th, and I think the 28th also. And there's been some hubbub about this because Kanye West has made some very obnoxious, terrible, crazy, evil, however you want to say it, comments, you know, I'm a Nazi, hail Hitler, all of this kind of stuff. And so they've come out and said, look, we cannot have a public facility that is going to have anti-Semitism being promoted by a, you know, a Jew hater, like they say Kanye West is. And we've got to stop it, because the only way to stop the horrors of racism, violence, the Holocaust, anti-Semitism, is to make sure that people are not allowed to say these kinds of things, or even to have said them, and then to perform in a publicly funded venue.
If you have a public venue, you don't get to go say, oh, I got to let everybody there. You do not. There's no law that says that. You don't have to let people that hate Jews show up.
Actually, you do. It's an odd law. It's an obscure law. It's one you probably never heard of before. It's called the First Amendment. I could not believe this yesterday. We went through this in Pensacola with the Sanger Theater. Right? You have people who want to put on a drag show, and the allegation was, some people said, how dare you use public money? Well, it turns out that it doesn't cost money. It actually generates money. Same thing at Raymond James. It's generating money. It's not costing money. So taxpayer funding is a weird argument to make. In Pensacola, the Sanger Theater, the at least concern was that what they're going to do is going to be obscene. There's no such concern involving Kanye West, so it's not even as legitimate a concern as had been with the Sanger Theater. And as long as they don't do anything obscene, the show went on, and just like this. You're talking about, he's not going on stage to perform racism. And even if he were, that's what the First Amendment protects. Vile, disgusting, wicked, though it might be, that's literally what the First Amendment is there for. You've had cases, you know, like the protests of the Nazis walking down the street in Skokie, Illinois, a very, very famous incident where the Nazis wanted to march and they were allowed to march because that's what the First Amendment means. So here you have Rick Scott and Ashley Moody, both of them saying, if you don't oppose this, you're fostering the kind of hate for Jews that produced the Holocaust. We're seeing it on college campuses, and they're not wrong about that. But the notion that we would tolerate not even the saying of racism, but the singing and performing by somebody who in the past has said racism and has apologized for it, whether you believe his apology or not, but they're banned. They can't use a public facility forever. I don't know what version of constitutional rights this is espousing, but it's not one that I recognize.
It all started with questions like the one before today. Are we going to tolerate this? No, we're not going to tolerate this. Are we going to support it? Absolutely not. We are not going to support it. People say, oh, it's just a concert. Oh, the Tampa Bay Sports Authority is going to make some money. Let people have their fun. Some of the worst sins in human history begin with the words, I was just going to a concert with my friends. I was just trying to make money. I was just following orders.
Wow.
No, you can't do that. You're not let off the hook. None of us should be let off the hook for hatred and anti-Semitism.
Hey, I get along with Rick Scott really well. We align on a lot of things, but you're saying that if you don't act to stop a Kanye West concert in Tampa, you are the same as the guards in the concentration camps who obeyed orders as their defense to kill Jews? That is a massive equivocation that is unjustified. The whole idea of tolerance is that people say things we hate and we allow them to. We even protect them in it. We have law enforcement officers who will protect them in doing it. And as I've said once or 1,000 times, when I was raised with the idea that I despise what you're saying, but I will fight to the death to protect your right to say it. And he's not even kind of saying these things. And, you know, if he were, just try to put this in the other direction. What do we always say about when conservatives say things that people hate? You know, when conservatives criticize gays or transgender or say things about abortion or environmentalism, or, you know, they'll say, well, that's marginalizing, othering, and hateful, and we cannot tolerate that, cannot allow that. Wait, no, the First Amendment protects you. The solution for bad speech is more speech. And here we have not even bad speech. We have a guy who in the past has uttered bad speech, and our answer is shut it down. It's a public forum. It's publicly funded. What? I don't recognize this argument. Now, I know that anti-Semitism, anti-Judaism, much like anti-black racism, has a particular history, right? It's really disgusting. It's really wicked. Okay, so if somebody aligns with that history, you criticize them. You can protest the concert. But actively using government to stifle the expression of speech by a person who in the past has said things that you despise, I just don't recognize that as being a First Amendment position. 437-1620, they were adamant about it yesterday, by the way. Oh, and by the way, I'm not even exaggerating on the, you know, when he says that if you don't oppose this, you're aligning with the people who obeyed orders to kill Jews. Because at the end of the comments, he said the same thing in a different way. I'll play it for you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free this morning. Also delay-free. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, back to Rick. And at the close of the comments, he said this.
So the Tampa Bay Sports Authority has a choice. All right. Over here, we have the boxcar. In the boxcar, a lot of people watched what happened and said it wasn't important enough to show up and stop it. Over here, we've got people that will and put their lives on the line to stand up for what's right, and they save people's lives. The Tampa Bay Sports Authority and all of us have the opportunity to be over here, and that's where we should be.
You're either stopping the boxcars full of Jews going to the concentration camp, or you're facilitating the boxcars full of Jews going to the concentration camp. I think there's a third option. And the third option is, if that's what we were facing, then I'd be with you. If what we're facing is somebody performing a concert who in the past has made Nazi sympathetic or anti-Semitic comments, we're just not at the Jew killing stage of this yet. And that's the case with all speech. All offensive speech has the potential to lead to really disgusting outcomes eventually. But we've made a commitment in this country that what we do is we allow disgusting speech. We allow offensive speech. We allow things that people don't want to hear. Why? Because we don't want to be the receivers of somebody else judging our speech to be disgusting and offensive. We all collectively agree that I want to say things you don't want to hear, and so I will protect your right to say things that I don't want to hear. It's a different concept of government, of this country, than what the Constitution protects. And I'm sure, and Ashley Moody, by the way, same thing. She says, look.
As recent as last year, Last year, in the middle of these attacks on Jewish Americans, in the middle of a time when students are afraid to wear symbols of their Jewish faith because they are afraid they will be harassed, attacked, or ostracized, in which we have repeated incidents that is happening right now, we're going to prioritize the booking of that artist right now.
I understand that concern. And college campuses have done a terrible job of keeping discussion open, keeping differing ideas open, protecting people, especially Jewish students on their campuses. They have been so embedded with the radical anti-Israeli left that they haven't even raised the question until it's been forced upon them to be raised. But well, when college campuses don't want to have a Charlie Kirk on their campus because he says things they don't want to hear or ask questions they don't want to hear, what do we say? You got to let all speakers come. That's the idea of a college education. And again, that's exactly what you're trying to create. Well, this is not a college education, but it is a performance by an artist that a lot of people want to see. In which, again, there's no reason to believe that he would engage in anti-Semitism on the stage. But if he did, it's not illegal. Saying anti-Semitic things, evil, noxious, horrible, bad, not illegal. Again, because we don't exercise restrictions on people's speech like that under the First Amendment, and you certainly don't exercise prior restraint. I mean, if he said something that was actually defamatory or incitement to violence, you know, the few exceptions there are to the First Amendment, then we would prosecute him afterwards. You don't get prior restraint. You don't get to censor people before they speak. So I'm amazed. Ashley Moody was the Attorney General of Florida, you know, although I guess I shouldn't be amazed because, and I love her a lot too. She does great. James Uthmeyer in the Sanger Theater thing, Attorney General of Florida. You're wrong on the law. You're just plain wrong. Senator Scott, just plain wrong on this. 437-1620. If you disagree with me, feel free. I'm here for it. What did I tell you before we did the segment, John?
You're going to have friends and you're going to have
people are going to be angry. And I'm like, well, okay, but this is the hill I want to die on. I mean, I will die on the hill of protecting the right of people to say things that other people don't want to hear, whether it's me who doesn't want to hear it or whether it's them who doesn't want to hear it, because that's the republic. That's the core idea of this country is we learn better by talking to each other. You fix bad speech by good speech and you protect everybody's right to say what they want because they are all made in the image of God. Kanye West is made in the image of God, even if he says horrible things. And I have to respect the image of God in him that I don't take away his ability to express through words, as long as they do not incite to violence or defame, that I disagree with. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought it was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
In digital marketing, sometimes it's easy to get carried away with clicks and data and algorithms, but at ADX Digital, we understand that none of that matters without customers. We provide reports with click-throughs and view-throughs, but what really matters to our team is seeing your business grow with more sales. And just like you, we're local too. We care about your business winning. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Hi, this is Congressman Jimmy Petronas. This is your reminder that we're officially in hurricane season. Don't wait for a storm to be named to get your plan together, especially if you have pets or elderly family members. Make sure you have at least 3 days of food and water and medications. Go to JimmyHelpsYou.com for more tips. Together we can prepare, and together we will respond to whatever Mother Nature has in store.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Sheriff Buford T. Justice. I'm in pursuit of a black Trans Am. He's all mine, so stay out of the way.
Think that Buford T. Justice listens to the Screaming Trees, but if he did, this would be the song. 625 here on News Radio 92.3.
One of the best movies ever, man.
John Pickens has got traffic for us, John.
Oh, love it. No banded in traffic right now. We've got no accidents or delays to report to you. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives, Bandit.
Thanks, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Could go for a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper right
there
about
now. There
you go. Tell you what. Today is primary election day in Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Washington, D.C. President Trump's political muscle being tested, including in Georgia's Senate race, where he gave a last-minute endorsement to GOP Congressman Mike Collins over former football coach Derek Dooley in their primary runoff. President Trump now says the U.S. has digitally signed an agreement with Iran. Speaking to reporters at the G7 summit in France, Trump called it a very powerful document. And, of course, the official signing is happening in Geneva on Friday. And a blueberry-sized thermometer could soon give doctors an inside-out look at body temperature. MIT researchers have been working on this. They unveiled the swallowable sensor on Monday. Apparently, it sends readings.
Sorry, you should see the look on John's face right now. He's so unhappy about this idea. He's just, I don't like this at all. Go ahead, David. I just want you to know crowd reaction here is
You know, I get it, John. I
think
do.
It sounds amazing, but go ahead.
So apparently, you swallow this thing, and it sends readings from inside of your gut where doctors can get a closer look at the body's core temperature.
I think that's an amazing idea to study the temperature of the body throughout the digestive tract to see what because obviously, your different parts of your body are different temperatures.
Right.
John?
I'm 98.6, baby. That's all I know.
I actually run a little, I can't now remember. I think I run a little cool compared to that. But
you do?
You left out a key feature of the story, though, David.
Really?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
The blueberry.
Does it
flavor?
Taste like blueberry?
We both were going down that road.
John and I both had the same question. I mean, if you want to get me to swallow a blueberry thermometer, make it taste good.
So I think I'm going to have to channel my inner Al Borland here and say, I don't think so, Andrew.
Nice. He is you. Well done. 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Obviously, yesterday, a horrible day for Air Force Aviation as you had this terrible crash of B-52 Stratofortress. That is our, you know, Cold War era bombing plane. At, I mean, what is it, like 70,000 pounds of munitions that it can carry? It's some ridiculous number. I remember we used to see those taken off over, we'd go fishing up in Michigan, and we'd see them taken off from the Air Force Base overhead while we were out there. They are a beast if you've ever seen them. Well, this one was being reworked. It was being worked on for modernization for radar because obviously it's got, you know, Cold War era equipment in it. And just right after takeoff, it just suffered some catastrophic problem. Colonel James Hayes is the deputy commander for Edwards Air Force Base.
It was a B-52 that was on initial takeoff, supporting the radar modernization program.
Yeah, so they were a mixture of people involved in this.
Edwards Air Force Base experienced a horrible tragedy, and we lost 8 great Americans. This was a mixed crew. This was a mixed crew of military, government civilians, and government contractors supporting this test mission.
And unfortunately, if you've seen any of the pictures, it was really, really bad. It was awful. There's nobody survived. The 8 people on board, nobody survived.
Lost 8 great Americans. This crash is deemed to be unsurvivable.
Yeah, I mean, that was really obvious. So obviously the investigation will be ongoing to figure out what went wrong. But this is a plane that's been in service for, I mean, gosh, first year for the B-52. It's got to be 70 years, right? I mean, we have the B-52 is one of those platforms where you hear about, young airmen these days flying in the same plane their grandfathers flew in. You know, it's just kind of amazing. Yeah, 1952, first flight was 1952. Made famous or infamous in all kinds of movies, from Dr. Strangelove to Failsafe to, and just, the backbone of the nuclear triad for so, so many years. But a terrible, terrible mishap for our folks in the Air Force.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump in a sideline sit-down with the Emir of Qatar at the G7 summit in France with thanks for fostering the peace deal with Iran.
They were tough, they were strong. They are the closest to Iran physically.
And dispelling the fake news, saying the U.S. is not investing any money in Iran after claims of a $300 billion investment fund. Fox's Trey Yates.
One of those officials explained the deal is performance-based, meaning Iran wouldn't benefit from sanctions relief unless they adhere to their end of the deal. This means the opening of the Strait of Hormuz and entering into detailed discussions to dismantle their nuclear program.
Now at the G7, the president says he'll do what he can to end Russia's Ukraine war, saying, I don't like to see 25,000 young people die every week. Fox has learned the FBI foiled an elaborate plot against the UFC Freedom 250 White House event with drones, bombings, and snipers. 5 in custody. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio, 92.3 at 77 degrees with cloudy skies this morning. And we'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. The National Weather Service, though, is watching a disturbance in the Gulf that could briefly organize into a tropical depression, possibly a weak tropical storm later this week. A meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Mobile says the bigger concern in Northwest Florida is the rain that's going to bring, regardless of what it becomes.
The National Weather Service and the National Hurricane Center is expecting a weak area of low pressure to possibly emerge over the Northwest Gulf late Tuesday or Wednesday, and conditions could be weakly conducive for a weak tropical depression or a brief tropical storm to form in that area of the Gulf Wednesday into Thursday, but it will be very brief, and it will be moving ashore well to our west at this point in time.
And that's what meteorologist Joe Maniscalco from the Weather Service. He says the Pensacola and coastal Alabama area can expect about 4 to 7 inches of rain through June 22nd with several rounds of heavy rainfall throughout the week. No coastal flooding is expected at this time. Public school enrollment in Escambia County has fallen about 6% over the last 5 years. A school board member says the state's voucher program is a big reason why. Board member Paul Fetzko telling Channel 3 that the financial hit is significant.
We are unfunded to the tune of over $3 million for the students who took a voucher but didn't go to where the voucher was sent.
And Fetzko says enrollment just keeps dropping. If enrollment keeps dropping, some schools could face consolidation, even closure, a reality already playing out in Okaloosa County with the closing of 2 elementary schools there. Escambia Superintendent Keith Leonard says no conversations are happening yet about that in his district. The Holly Navarre Fire District asking Santa Rosa County voters to approve a referendum in August that would raise firefighter pay. Right now, the district's starting pay is $15.33 an hour, the lowest among area fire districts. Neighboring departments could pay up to $18.15. Chief Kevin Lewis says the low pay is driving experienced firefighters out the door to better-paying departments, even though the Holly Navarre District handles about double the call volume of other local fire districts. Well, Waterfront Rescue Mission in Pensacola cutting the ribbon this morning on a new shaded outdoor patio for homeless guests. That space was funded by a grant from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It features picnic tables, fans, a water fountain, and even device charging stations, and gives a comfortable place to rest between meals and appointments for their guests. Qualifying for elected seats in Century is over. Chris Bryan with this story. He says the effort was easy.
And with no opposition, three Century Town Council members were automatically selected recently after no one else qualified for the seats. Those elected were seat three incumbent Shalisa Abraham, seat four incumbent John Bass, seat five incumbent Sparky Harrison. All three will be sworn in for their new four-year terms in January 2027. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
6:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you still. We're still looking good as far as that goes, and no delays. Highway 29, 90, I-10, I-110, everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are down this morning by more than 2% as investors continue to await further details on the U.S.-Iran peace agreement to bring the Middle East conflict to an end. West Texas Intermediate at $78 per barrel, Brent at roughly $81. President Trump said America will not invest money in Iran after a memorandum of understanding was agreed with Tehran. Leaders from the wealthy group of seven countries are gathering in the Alpine town for the G7 summit, with representatives from the EU and Ukraine also among those invited to attend. Ford is recalling more than 250,000 vehicles that were incorrectly repaired under a previous recall, meant to fix a problem that caused the engine to stall while driving. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the recall includes Ford Focus automobiles, model years 2012 to 2018. Futures are slightly higher after the Dow closes at a record high following the Iran-U.S. peace deal. Yesterday, the Dow gained 468, the NASDAQ up 795. That's Your Money Now.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues. Please make me a doctor's appointment.
Okay. Are you suffering from diarrhea, bloating, gas, or oily stools? If so, you may want to ask your doctor if it could actually be a problem with your pancreas called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI.
My pancreas? How is EPI treated?
A prescription medicine like Creon, pancrelipase, is used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes. Creon is the number one prescribed treatment for EPI.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you are allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor, and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, and we'll discuss topics like security benefits of having your home and business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob. Tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
Jimmy Patronis is on the line with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I'm live from Washington, D.C. today.
We've obviously today been talking about the property tax proposal that has come out of the House and the Senate now.
I have been through a property tax special session before. At the same time that you want to lower everybody's property tax bill, you also have those essential services.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No.
The demand for the magnet schools is beyond the capacity of the magnet schools to handle it. There's always wait lists or competition to get into the, you know, magnet schools. Do you think we ought to build more of them, or is there another design of schools like a K-8 kind of concept that we should be, you know, building more of or developing more of?
Where is the demand in Escambia County, and what should you do to adapt to it and change to it? That was my question to the school board candidates on Friday at the forum put on by the Women for Responsible Legislation. Paul Fetzko is the District 2 incumbent.
Number one, magnet schools are good if it gives the parents the choice. You have to have enough demand in whatever it is that you're presenting as a magnet for enough students to go to fill that building. That's been problematic in some regards. I think there's more of a push now to go to more career and technical education. And in doing that, we might look at some facilities that become more like a pre-West Florida high school. A lot of different academies in different areas and do that. So we can do the more magnets, but we also don't want to take all of the highest achieving students out of any one school, so that it then becomes a detriment to the children who are left in the schools that are struggling to begin with.
Okay, I'm going to start with the last part first, because I vehemently disagree with this institutionalist approach to schools. The idea that you've got to keep the high achieving students in the underachieving schools in order to keep the average up, and so they pass their school grades or have higher school grades. That's too oriented towards the system and protecting the institution. And what it should be always oriented towards is whatever is best for the student, for every student. And putting high-achieving students in environments that will bring out their very best capabilities should be the goal for high-achieving students. And putting, let's call them ordinary students, normal students, whatever word you like, you know, none of these words are kind, but there's a reality here. In environments where we're still going to bring out their best, is probably not to have them paired up with the highest performing students, because if you go at the pace of the smart kids, then the, you know, ordinary kids get left behind. And if you go at the pace of the ordinary kids, then the high kids don't get developed. Like, this is a classic problem in education, right? So instead of, you know, trying to mix everybody together and make sure that you protect the institution by keeping the best performing kids there, what we should be doing is trying to find the best environment for everyone. And who should make these decisions? Not the school. The parent should be making these decisions, right? So Paul Fetzko seems to be of the opinion, at least at the end there, that, you know, we got to make sure and think about keeping these school grades up so that we continue to get, you know, not punished and funded and all that kind of stuff. No. No. And, I'm not saying that he, when you ask him the question directly, would answer this way. But that kind of an answer represents a kind of thinking that has historically been the kind of thinking that, for example, the unions have offered of, you know, protecting the institution, which is the same kind of thinking that it hates vouchers and hates choice and hates. I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying it's that kind of thinking. Doesn't like the competition because you're too enamored with the institution itself. And we should not be protecting the institution. We should be protecting the student. Aaron Toller, District 1. Although, I actually, the first part he was saying about, you know, if people want more magnets, you know, we should have more magnets, which we do have more demand for it than we have capability, because what? it's an interesting way of doing school. The unit studies program, for example, that they do at Brown Barge is different. The career academies that they do at West Florida is different. And there's demand for that. I've for years been baffled by why we don't do more of the magnet school alternative curriculum style education, because it is clearly in demand. You literally have to win the lottery to go to these schools. So why aren't we doing more of that? Why are we losing students? Because we're not competing in the public school system against the private and the homeschool. Well, good Lord, we've actually got a product people want. Let's make more of it. Okay, Paul Fetsko said what he said. Aaron Toler, who is self-described Democrat running for, although it's not a partisan race, but Kevin Adams is clearly a Republican. Aaron Toler is clearly a Democrat. I don't mind her saying that. I don't mind him saying it. I'd kind of wish we wouldn't have to be so partisan, but that's a whole other issue. Anyway, and she says the same thing. But Aaron Toler on this issue of magnets and or K-8.
I'm open to discussions about magnet schools. I don't think we have a desperate need, because we do have a couple of great magnet schools already, and we've got our career academies available to students who want to pursue a particular field. But I'm certainly not opposed to the idea. It does feel a little bit backwards to me talking about creating those highly specialized programs that will have smaller student bodies while we're already talking about buildings that are below capacity. But if the math works, I'm not opposed to that. K-8 schools, I don't like. K-7 schools, I don't like. K-6, I can be swayed. I'm not a fan. I think we've got a separation of those age groups for a good reason, and I think when we start meshing them, all we're really doing is just moving a problem further down the line and creating another one while we're at it.
I'm actually kind of in that same boat, but that's more because the system I grew up in was K-6, 7, 8, and then 9 through 12 for high school. The age separation, particularly as they're maturing and developing, I think does make sense. K-8 largely seems to me to be a reaction to declining enrollment and trying to make things work in an institutional setting where it kind of wasn't really built for that. But I'm open to it. I don't have as firm a belief as she does about the opposition to K-8, but I definitely think people want more of the competition. And also, you can, just because declining enrollment doesn't mean you couldn't do a hybrid program. You couldn't have, like PHS has now got, where you've got magnet inside of a regular, or like IB inside of a regular. Why can't a school, just because it's one school doesn't mean that it has to be one student body that is all treated the same. You could have several different kinds of tracks or programs or pathways within that school, even if it's one institution. There's no reason you couldn't do that and still keep them age separated, essentially. Kevin Adams?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of K-8s.
Oh, sorry. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. I should have said that. We'll come back to this in a second. Go ahead, John.
Thank you.
Stink eye, John.
No accidents to report to you right now or delays. Looks like I-10, I-1, 10, 90, 29, 98 all look good so far this morning. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Now, Kevin Adams, answer on the question of making schools, possibly K-8 more so, making them magnet schools more so, what to do to be flexible, adaptive, and competitive against vouchers going to private schools and homeschoolers.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of K-8s. Okay, so I got the first K-8 in this county. It's at Longleaf. Okay, so parents are ecstatic about it. They know their child gets in it. Kindergarten to there, all the way to eighth grade. So I'd like to see us increase our K-8s. I've always been a proponent of more magnet schools. Warrington Elementary, perfect place to have M.B. Cook of the West. So the West Side's got access, quick access to a magnet program. That gives people a reason to choice back into the community instead of choicing out of the community. So,
yeah, agree with that.
I know that some people will tell me, hey, if we do that, this school is going to drop a letter grade if we let them go, but they're leaving anyway. So what we have to do is try to capture those students that may leave to take that voucher.
Yeah, and I like that attitude too, which is, we're up against choice and we're losing, and what can we do to compete? I just think that there's not enough of the question being asked, what are the private schools doing that parents like so much there? Aaron Toler, in one of the introductory comments that she made, was basically saying that she loved being a teacher, she loved teaching, but she hated being a teacher. She loved the kids, loved the activity, loved the interaction and everything there, but hated the institutional problems, hated the lack of support. Well, this may be based on very scant evidence, but I'm going to say it anyway. You do hear public school teachers moan and groan a lot. It's not been my experience that I hear that same level of moaning and groaning from private school teachers or homeschool teachers. Now, it may just be that I'm not listening enough, or it may be that what's being done in private and home education is more fulfilling and satisfying and effective, and that's why people don't complain about it. Whereas what's being done in public education drives people crazy because they see things being done that don't make sense, that don't work. They're forced to obey rules that don't make sense, that the administration's not listening to them, that all the things, okay, that are difficulties for public education. And to me, the answer there is, and this is coming from somebody who, you know, I taught for 10 years at the college level. I'm a huge fan of education. I absolutely believe in it. We homeschooled our kids. My wife homeschooled our kids. If you're losing in a competitive environment, you can either complain about the fact that you have to deal with competition or you can ask, what can we do better? And having been a monopoly for so long, public education is giving all the predictable and wrong answers to this question in general. At least that's what I hear from a lot of these, you know, either incumbents or candidates is, you know, we got to save the system or we got to protect the system. When the answer should be, how can we make it better? Let's look at what they're doing. Let's figure out how to do it more effectively. You know, theoretically, you should be able to. The question is, can you adapt to an environment where you've got competition? And it may just be that, you know, 70% of the former enrollment is the best you can hope for, or 60% of the former enrollment is the best you can hope for, because it never should have been 90% in the first place. It was only that way because of the monopoly and the lack of access through lack of vouchers and funding. And maybe that's true, too. But, okay, if we're going to get 60% of the kids, then let's get the best version of education for that 60% of kids that we can have. And maybe that means, you know, reducing taxes or reducing institutions or whatever. But, you know, okay, let's do the best version of that we can get. I also asked about the very controversial question of school books and what should be done with them in the libraries. Kevin Adams, this is kind of a centerpiece of his campaign and his, you know, being on the board also.
What we're supposed to do for minor children, these are children in school. They are not supposed to be accessing age inappropriate, obscene, or pornographic material, nor go into gender identity to K-5. We're there to educate the student how to read, write, and do that kind of things, which should not be in that sex business of trying to deal with that. So these books, I mean, I don't blame the authors. The more they put in there, the more obscene stuff's in there, the more it sells. But our parents need to know they can come to our schools and their student will not have access to any of those type books. So that's where I'm at on that.
So he's very much a restrictivist approach. Aaron Toler, his competitor.
So this is a manufactured issue, and it has been turned into a whole thing because somebody wanted to put some attention on something and make a big fuss. This is a non-problem, folks. It has been created to make you angry. There are books that have some content that you may find objectionable in the library. That's completely fine. You as a parent have the right to prevent your children from reading that book. That has always existed. What you do not have a right to do is to tell other parents what books their children can read. And especially if you're someone living in Lee County, for example, you don't get to make those decisions for Escambia County. But Escambia County has adopted state books that have been banned by other counties in the state because they've made it onto a list. This is a completely non-issue, and we need to reverse these bans.
So I'm a half and half on this. I totally agree with Aaron that our policy of removing books that anybody anywhere has objected to is terrible. This is silly. But I disagree with the idea that everything should be in the libraries. I'm probably somewhere between Kevin and Aaron on this one. I do think that some restrictions should apply and some materials just should not be in the library at all. I also, of course, agree that parents should be, you know, able to restrict their own kids, which they certainly can. But there is some community value to saying these standards are for a reason and kids shouldn't have access to it. Paul Fetsko, District 2.
We need to err on the side of caution. Teachers have always held to a higher standard. Our standard, if in the community, you may be able to access materials that would be deemed age inappropriate.
Like at the public
As
library.
As an educational institution, we should not have that material in our media centers or in our classrooms or anywhere else. There are parents who are never going to read books ahead of the time that their children read the books. They won't know what the content is, and they can't use the things that come from the media centers and media services and the library associations because they do not do a good enough job of describing the actual content.
Very good. And by the way, I actually tend to agree to some amount with Aaron that it's a little bit of a hyped up issue in the grand scheme of what's important in education. This is not the most important thing. It's important. What's in our libraries at the schools does matter, but, you know, compared to, say, what they can access on their phones and also in the grand scheme of things that really do matter for education, not the most important issue. Still important, though. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner, and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com. Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected. Continuing to grow. And never losing sight of who we serve. Pennair Credit Union. 90 years strong.
Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With four locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola
and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Funny, listening with my ears, I mean, I know it's from the game Tempest because I made the cut, but it also sounds very similar to Defender. The overall sound is very similar to Defender. So, interesting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident free. If you're on Highway 29 coming southbound to 9 Mile Road, expect about a 5-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
It's like packages at the airport. You know, many video games sound alike. Many bags look alike, sir. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are very good at this. They sold 209 homes last year, 4 a week on average, which is a certain kind of expertise and experience when pricing and staging and photographing and listing and pricing and following up and open housing and all of that stuff. And then, you know, navigating all of the hurdles that you go through before you actually get to the closing and getting all the way to closing. Instead of, you know, trying real hard and getting a couple of homes sold a year, they get unbelievable number of homes sold a year. And that produces a better ability to do it, even when it comes to a new home. People don't think they need a realtor for a new home, but if you build a home, you know better what to negotiate for, what they'll pay down points, what concessions they'll give you and upgrades. I mean, all the stuff she knows because she's done it a lot. And frankly, you don't because you haven't. And that's the value of that expertise. And then when you take possession of the new home, if that's what you decide to do, the blue tape so you know what needs to be fixed. And it's everything needs to be fixed. And she'll tell you, nope, that's normal. Nope, that's abnormal. They can fix that. That's the kind of expertise that you want when you're buying a home. 786-3996 or Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump touting the newly announced deal with Iran. He met with world leaders at the G7 summit in France on Monday. He said the deal is designed to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and implement a 60-day window for the U.S. and Iran to strike a long-term deal. An investigation continuing into that B-52 crash that left 8 people dead at Edwards Air Force Base in California. Officials say it happened during a routine test mission. Colonel James Hayes, the deputy commander for the 412th Test Wing, said at a news conference that we lost 8 great Americans.
Yeah, it really is a terrible tragedy for our Air Force community. And just remember, you know, we have the 479th Flying Training Group here at NAS Pensacola. We have Eglin and Hurlburt right down the road. We have Air Force all over the place. And, you know, let's be keeping those folks in that community. And I mean, you know, the Sizzos and Wizzos train here, right?
Local news every